The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Be it superstition or just an apparition, you suddenly appear inside my heart. But does this strange romance stand?
Welcome to From the Bleachers. I'm your host, as always, Seamus Clancy, coming to you from the wonderful Bleeding Green Nation Radio Podcast Network. Now, I'm recording this early on Tuesday afternoon. I know a lot of you out there are Philly sports fans, not of just the Eagles, but the Sixers, Flyers, and Phillies. Last night, first game of the Sixers-Celtics first-round series did not go as well as Sixers fans would have hoped. They actually had a chance in the game. They were leading 86-83 with less than 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter. You know, it's not a game they should have won and going into it, but when you're in it that late in the game, you got to pull out the W. They have... You really no match for Brad Stevens. With Ben Simmons out, there's no one really to stick Jason Tatum. Matisse Thybulle did a valiant job in the second half. They have a little bit too much offensive firepower for us, and there really isn't enough support around Joel Embiid as the roster is currently constructed. Needs to get a little bit better out of passing out of that double team. Brad Stevens, Marcus Smart, they have him, you know, down path. You know, the same things have been happening for 2-3 years when I'm playing the Celtics are still happening. Sixers might suck. Philly's looking okay. The offense is unbelievable. Bullpen is a mess. Bryce Harper and JT Realmuto think they're, you know, two prime NL MVP candidates. Alec Baum has made his MLB debut, is turning up a couple nice plays at third base, looking good in the box, swinging aggressively. Really excited for the Phillies, have a bunch of games coming up. Recording this Tuesday afternoon, like I said, Flyers come up in just an hour or two. Up 2-1 in their series against the Canadiens. Hopefully by the time you're listening to this, they're up 3-1 or have clinched the series entirely. I'm obviously not a huge Flyers fan, but I've become a bandwagon fan. I think if you admit that you're a bandwagon fan and you don't come up with this pretense of like, oh, I actually really liked hockey back in high school and I just didn't follow the team, blah, blah, blah. Like, just admit you're someone that only watches the team when they're good. That's fine. I respect that. If your favorite team has bandwagon fans, that's a good sign. That means your team is doing well. Like, when the Eagles were in the Super Bowl, is every person in Philadelphia watching that game, you know, a gigantic Eagles fan that's on Twitter doing training camp? We got a training camp going on right now. Make sure to follow Brandon Lee Gouton on Twitter and Jimmy Kempsey on Twitter, our BGN radio guys out there, two of the best beat writers in the game. Make sure you're following them and getting your training camp updates. But if you're not someone who's getting those updates, that doesn't mean you still can't watch every Sunday, enjoy the spectacle of football in general and the communal aspect of it, or you can't jump in on the playoffs. Like, my mom, bless her heart, when the Eagles are in the playoffs, she wants to win so badly because she knows it means so much to me and my dad and our friends and our family. Something like that. That's what I love about football. That's what I love about the communal nature of sports. At the heart of it, at the root of it, I am such a pro Philadelphia person. I love, love, love Philadelphia so dearly. As you guys know, came out swinging from a South Philly basement, South Philly lifer, went to school in University City for a couple years, back now living in South Philly once again. You know, the longest I've been outside of the city limits is probably 6 or 7 days on a, you know, a vacation I might have went on when I was a kid. I love this city, and I love seeing good things happen to it. And right now, the Flyers play an exciting, great brand of hockey. They're like, unlike a Flyers team you've ever seen, they're fast, they're skilled, they can put the puck in the net. They're not this old school Broad Street bully BS grinding people down. It's a new age of hockey, and they're on the forefront of it with some great management in place and a great head coach now that they've been desperately, desperately missing, just like the Sixers are to begin with. But when I'm talking about civic pride, you know that that's a huge aspect of why I love the Eagles. The Eagles are representative of Philadelphia. They are the thing that sums us up the best. They are the thing that carries us through the week, the thing that dictates the mood of millions of people in the, you know, greater Philadelphia area. And one of my favorite things to watch, one of my favorite things to see, to really amp up that level of civic pride and emotion that comes with being an Eagles fan, are hype videos. Whether they're fan-made, those guys at Delco Delphia make fantastic hype videos for, you know, Philly sports in general, but specific ones for the Eagles, Sixers, Flyers, whatever. But the Eagles released a hype video. I'm recording this on Tuesday. They released a hype video on Monday. And geez, they've been making hype videos for the last 7, 8, 9 years, I think. Their first hype video I remember came out in 2013. And that one was unbelievable. It's the one, you know, they have that We Were Promised Jetpack song. It's Thunder and It's Lightning, the instrumental of it playing, where it's, you know, the voiceover is the guy from The Wire who went to, you know, Archbishop Ryan or North, wherever he went. And he's saying, like, we wear our hearts on our sleeves, even when we're not wearing sleeves. And he has that Eagle, they show a guy with the sleeves cut off, Eagles tattoo on his forearm, you know, that whole, those whole 9 yards saying, like, every fall we will rise and it's a communal thing. No one can talk bad about Philly besides people that are from Philly. And, you know, before every Eagles season, before almost every Eagles game during the week, during the season, I'm constantly watching that video. That just sums up everything that I love so much about this team in this city. However, the one the Eagles released yesterday is their best one since that. Nothing can top the OG. Nothing can top the original that put all these hype videos into place. They made some okay ones in the past few years, but that one stands supreme. But again, the one they released yesterday was amazing. First of all, the instrumental music for it is the group, the musical act, Explosions in the Sky. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with the name of the act, but they also, the band that did the music for Friday Night Lights, the theme song for that. So when you're listening to this type of music, you know, you have that Friday Night Lights mentality, that, you know, trembling buildup of instruments and synths and guitar lines and bass, and you just swell up with emotion when you hear it. It just sets the stage. Why isn't every hype video ever for every team set to Explosions in the Sky? It makes no sense. The Eagles should never do it again. Explosions in the Sky only. Get them on retainer or something, Jeffrey Lurie. You know, it begins with a voiceover from Brian Dawkins, as expected. Dawkins, patron saint of South Philadelphia. I have a couple Wolverine bobbleheads, Funko Pops next to me, celebrating my love of both the X-Men and Brian Dawkins. I have a framed tweet of Brian. Literally, if you guys remember on BGN a couple months back, I did a poll of people's favorite Eagles fans, and Dawkins won. So at the end, you know, Dawkins won the poll, and at the end, I did, you know, wrote an article about why Dawkins was my favorite Eagle ever. And he ended up quote retweeting it, you know, kind of talked about myself with, you know, my struggles with depression and anxiety. It's something that Dawkins has been pretty public about in the last few years, about how he struggled with depression early on in his NFL career. And Dawkins retweets me saying, well, my original tweet says, Brian Dawkins is my favorite athlete of all time. From his ferocious play to his pregame hype to his obsession with Wolverine to his public battle with mental illness, Brian Dawkins is everything I've ever wanted from an Eagle. And he quotes it and says, there are none that has, is, or will walk the face of the earth that is considered strong, that didn't start off at a place of weakness or lack, be it physically, mentally, spiritually, and in most cases, financially. Most choose the tough paths and grew stronger over time. BBTB. So obviously, whenever I hear Dawkins, those, you know, can you feel that? Can you feel that beating in your doggone chest? That gets me going. But the thing that made my jaw begin to shake and tremble and, you know, my eyes welt up and I feel like I'm about to cry when I'm watching it is when it hits that Dick Vermeil voiceovers. I love Dick Vermeil's voice. I loved him when he's done football announcing. I love, you know, what the kind of career he's had, the way he changed the state of the Eagles franchise from this afterthought, from this joke in the NFL to a contending team in the late 70s and early 80s. And, you know, that kind of carried them through a streak where by the late 80s, early 90s, they were, you know, one of the best teams at NFC. Obviously, no Super Bowl trophy had come, but their defense is legendary. Randall Cunningham is an incredibly electric player that football fans will remember forever. But that all starts when Vermeil comes to town and changes everything up. You know, they're showing some highlights of Eagles players, and you hear Dick Vermeil saying, we won a couple we should have lost, but we've lost a couple we should have won. You know, that just really hit me. I'm having, like, a difficult week personally, some job stuff, some, you know, just life stuff that, you know, everyone goes through. But right now it's hitting me a little hard right now, having a rough day, had a rough Monday, having a rough Tuesday. Hopefully the Flyers win. The Sixers didn't help me out at all. But it's one of those things where, unbeknownst to the person making this video, to Vermeil's voiceover, that on a specific date and time, I could be listening to this and it just hits me right in my guts because of how I've been feeling and what I've been going through. It's one of those things where you kind of have to rally around yourself, put yourself back together, and get your you-know-what back out there and start living and start succeeding in life and start being happy. Dick Vermeil, man. I love his... I quote this all the time. I've definitely said it on this podcast before, you know, during a Dallas week, and I've written about it in my newsletter. If you're not subscribed to my newsletter, absolutely go check it out. Patreon.com/Seamus_Clancy, the From Broad Street with Love newsletter. Get a newsletter every morning, Monday through Friday. Just $2 for the entire month. I'll be talking a ton of Eagles coming up with training camp heating up and the season on its way. Talking Sixers and Flyers right now, and then Philly sprinkled in because, you know, those three leagues are going on strong right now. So if you're a Philly sports fan, even if you're just an Eagles fan, you're going to get value out of that newsletter, and I definitely recommend you check it out. But it's saying that when Dick's talking about the Eagles as it relates to the Cowboys, it's something on the lines of, I've heard a lot of people take us for granted. And if their Dallas Cowboys take us for granted, we'll whip their you-know-what. And man, I just love this guy and, you know, his voice. You know, you don't think of Dick Vermeil as this. Well, for people of my generation, I just turned 26 back in May. We might not think of Dick Vermeil more than, you know, Greg Kinnear's portrayal of him in the Mark Wahlberg Invincible movie with Vince Papale. But he's such an important presence that, again, helped change the state of professional football in Philadelphia. But beyond that, then we in the hype video, we go into this monologue from Chuck Bednarik, you know, the last of the 60-minute man, number 60 on the 1960 NFL championship team, the only team in NFL history to deliver Vince Lombardi a playoff loss. The Philadelphia Eagles did it at Franklin Field, the field of my alma mater Penn, Chuck Bednarik's alma mater Penn. So I'm all locked in on Chuck. God rest his soul. I've definitely said this before, but I remember I was interning at the Daily News back in 2014, 2015, and I actually had to write his obituary, and that really hit me as obviously a lifelong diehard Eagles fan, but also someone who, you know, again, went to the University of Penn, and, you know, the joke I always say is, you know, I could be wrong. I'm not steeped in the history of Ivy athletics, but Chuck Bednarik, the best athlete in the history of the Ivy League. Hats off to Chuck. Thank you for the career. Thank you for everything. Love you. But then we go out, they show, you know, they say, we're going to go out swinging. And that obviously makes me think of, you know, Came Out Swinging, the Wonder Years song. Dan Soupy Campbell, who's been on this podcast before, friend of the newsletter, friend of the podcast. Great follow on Twitter if you love music and the birds. And then they're running through the highlights of all the big players in Eagles history, even guys that maybe are a little unsung for modern fans. They have Jeremiah Trotta, Bill Berge, Eric Allen running the back. Hugh Douglas is smashing hit on Chicago Bears quarterback Jim Miller in the beginning of the 2001 NFC divisional round playoffs. Eagles in Chicago, they beat Tampa Bay in the round before. Donovan McNabb goes back to his hometown area, beats the Bears. Eagles make their first NFC championship game since 1980. You know, one of the best wins in Eagles history. I remember exactly where I was when I was watching it. I remember Donovan McNabb's slam dunk celebration after rushing for a touchdown on the field goal post. You know, highlight of the Andy Reid era for sure. And I love that little moment, you know, something that would be considered dirty in the modern NFL. But back then, that was just football, baby. That's some concussion uncle, you know, big time football guy energy where he was just crushing this dude. But it was awesome. And I really just love this hype video, especially where, again, I'm so into the NBA and NFL, NBA and NHL seasons, I should say, as well as we have the Phillies doing well offensively, one of the best offensive teams in the league, even though their pitching is obviously lacking right now. But it just doesn't feel the same in terms of the buildup for this NFL season. Obviously, we have training camp going the last couple of days, and that definitely helps out seeing those tweets all day about, you know, just today we saw that on Tuesday, Carson Wentz threw a pass to Jalen Reagor, who then did a double pass down the field to Greg Ward. Oh, my Lord. I need to see that play this year. I need to see a triple pass from Wentz to Reagor to Greg Ward, who throws it down to DeSean Jackson streaming down the sideline. I need that. But that's the stuff that's getting me hyped for this season. And that's the whole point of a hype video. It's in the name hype. You're supposed to get people hype, and now I am hype, if you could not tell. Football's coming back soon. And I don't know how long the season's going to go on. I don't know if we're going to make it to week 4 or week 5, but I bet your butts there's a week 1, and I hope the Eagles kick the crap out of the Washington football team, that disgrace to humanity and the NFL overall.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
One other point I wanted to make before we close out this week's podcast is that during Monday's training camp practice, Eagles center Jason Kelce, Eagles legend Jason Kelce, mentioned there's a chance of Brandon Brooks coming back and playing at some point in the 2020 season. What? That guy just tore his Achilles. That guy works harder than anyone. You know, I made the joke on Twitter the other day. You know, Brandon Brooks tears every muscle and breaks every bone in the, you know, the lower half of his body. And within 48 hours, he's on Instagram recording videos of him doing, you know, one leg bench press squats and backflips holding 100-pound weights. That guy is a warrior. You know, if he's able to play this season at some point, that's just miraculous. But you know, that's what we've come to expect with Brandon Brooks. You know, no one trains harder than this guy. I remember, you know, in that Saints playoff game after the 2018 season, early 2019 divisional round down in New Orleans, Brandon Brooks gets hurt. The Eagles offense is never the same as that game goes on. Just an integral piece of that offense. You know, the best guard in the National Football League. I don't care about Zach Martin or Quentin Nelson or whomever. If he's able to play after this soon, after a tore his Achilles, and just like last offseason where it seemed inevitable that he wouldn't be able to begin the 2019 season, but you know, against all odds, he did. You can never count Brandon Brooks out. That guy is a warrior physically and mentally. And that's why he, even more so than Wentz or anyone else, remains my favorite Eagle on the team currently. Is his public battle with anxiety, his willingness to talk about mental health in a very macho-dominated world of the NFL and professional sports in general. And not only is he someone that is openly speaking about it, the guy kicks butt on the field. That guy is the best guard in the National Football League. That guy is, you know, grinding out in the trenches every single play. And if a dude that tough can be that open about his struggles mentally, that's got to erase all sorts of categorizations people have about mental health. That just, you know, we need to destigmatize it. It takes away the stigma people have around mental health, especially men, I think, are unwilling to talk about that. Again, in this, you know, we're all sports fans in this kind of macho-centric world. But if someone as, you know, big and strong and tough and as awesome as Brandon Brooks is as willing to discuss that, just have to tip your hats off to the guy. And it makes you want to reevaluate how you think about mental health overall and, you know, what your, how, the state of your own mental health. And remember back in the 2016 season when Brooks's first season in Philadelphia, coming as a big free agent signing from the Houston Texans, Brooks ended up missing a game during that Eagles season, you know, Doug and Wentz's first season in Philadelphia because of anxiety. And at the time, I was writing here and there from Bleeding Green Nation. I wasn't, you know, a consistent contributor or anything, but being good friends with Adam Herman, the managing editor then, and obviously have a great connection with BLG, always from their days in Liberty Ballers and since in covering the Eagles and training camp and stuff. But I could read you a little excerpt from this article I wrote. You could Google it, just say BGN or Seamus Clancy, Brandon Brooks. It'll come up. Brandon Brooks makes it okay to not be okay. Brooks, this is what I wrote. This all brings me to Brandon Brooks, the Eagles starting right guard. Signed during the offseason, Brooks quickly endeared himself to the Philadelphia faithful with his newfound love of Wawa. As this year's progressed, however, Brandon's anxiety worsened so severely to the point where he missed games against Green Bay and Washington season. I'm not ashamed. I'm not embarrassed, Brooks said about his mental health issues. It's life. I'll get through this. F yeah, Brandon Brooks. You shouldn't be ashamed. You shouldn't be embarrassed. No one should be. I dealt with my own personal demons in solace for years, suffering quietly in agony due to the stigma surrounding mental health treatment. I was a man, italicized man. I should be able to handle my problems on my own, or so I thought. That's a task no one can bear alone, nor should they have to. If a man as physically strong as Brandon Brooks, all 346 pounds of him, can't block anxiety from his mind, what chance does an ordinary person have? That's why he's important. The more people who speak up about how you shouldn't be embarrassed or emasculated about seeking out help, the less this hyper-macho society of ours stigmatizes it. When public figures, especially professional athletes, speak, people listen, as they should with something as serious as this. So I'm going to close out and say, Brandon Brooks, my guy, love you, pal. One of my favorite Eagles ever, my favorite guy on the team right now. You know, even if he leaves the Birds at some point, always someone I'll be rooting for. I'm usually not like that when people leave Philadelphia. It's really just, you know, Brian Dawkins going to Denver. And now if Brooks were to leave at some point, hopefully he's an Eagle forever. Never leaves. He's always, you know, his Pro Bowl caliber self. But he's awesome. And if he gets to play at some point this year, you know, if this season goes on as planned, if we can have a real NFL season, even if there are no fans in the stands in Philadelphia, you know, if by, you know, November, December, somehow he can play and the Eagles are getting ready for the stretch run and make the playoffs and Brooks can come back for the playoffs. Just what a story that would be. What an ending to that Eagle season that could be this maybe a magical season just like 2017 that we had that kind of came out of nowhere. And, you know, maybe Brooks gives that last push for us to get to the mountaintop once again. You know, I'll close it out with that. Need more explosions in the sky in my life. Go Sixers. Go Flyers, go Phillies, check out the other great SB Nation sites. We have Broad Street Hockey, Liberty Ballers, and The Good Fight covering those other Philadelphia teams we love so much right now. Again, Seamus Clancy, check me out on Twitter at @Seamus_Clancy. Check out my newsletter. Check out everything else we got going on BGN right now with the website and BGN Radio with training camp back in the mix. Talk to y'all later. Go Birds, baby.